When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's really important for everybody that Liverpool win the league, isn't it? Because I don't know if you saw the game between Arsenal and my question is, Arsenal, they stunk the place out, didn't they? Boo, boo, poor football. Very, very boring. Just the place stunk. In what was an incredible weekend of football, the Premier League stunk for 90 minutes. It was just like everyone was excited. Oh, it's a big game, Manchester City versus Arsenal. And they stunk it out. What a terrible game of football. How dare either of them even suggest that they should be Premier League champions playing football like that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, to be fair to Pep, it wasn't really him. He was having a go. It was Arteta stinking the place out. And Liverpool, what did they do when they played? They gave it a go. That's all they asked. That's all we asked from our Premier League champions.
Same score.
All we want. Look, first and foremost, football fans, aren't we? We're all football fans. And all we want is to be entertained when we watch our team play.
That's all.
That game at the Etihad, it stunk, James. And I just think for the good of the game, Liverpool should win the league this year.
Yeah.
That's So the question is, James, for the good of the game, should Liverpool win the Premier League this season?
Yeah, for the good of the game. Yeah. For everyone's benefit. Good. I mean, do you know what? It's funny. I was watching the game and I think maybe because I'm thinking, right, I'm like, first half, I really enjoy the first half of football matches because I think you can kind of see what everyone's sort of having a go at. Yeah. That is a bit weird, as in hindsight.
I like the boring bits of games where everyone's fit and no mistakes are being made.
Well, okay, let me rephrase it. When you're trying to analyse a game, the bulk of what you analyse comes from the first half because you see the plans of both teams and what they're trying to do.
You know, you often know within 5 minutes how the game's going to go.
Yeah, well, yeah. I always think, you know, if you can have a bet and obviously do that responsibly, do that. I like to bet at half time because I think you can get a nice solid flavour of the game itself. So watching the first half, I was kind of like, okay, what are we seeing here? What are we seeing here? And I found that
scared.
Yeah, and I saw fear.
Fear.
I saw fear. I did see a bit of fear, I'll be honest.
Of course, they were terrified to play. That's what we're not critical. They did the right thing. When you know you can't win, shut up shop.
Well, they were looking to break the cycle, weren't they? Which they did.
What do you mean, break the cycle?
I heard that from people that them being scared. What I would say, which is a good, I saw a clip from Mr. Garrett. And he said, with the players that Man City had out, this is as good as opportunity as you're probably going to get against Man City. And from that point of view, they didn't go and dominate the game, which they certainly could have done. Could have won it in the second half. But it was a breakaway, wasn't it? They were all over.
We managed to beat Manchester City. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, you parked the bus. Yeah, but you were afraid as well. You parked the bus like anything.
We're not top of the tree, are we? We're not Premier League champions elect, are we? True. We're just little old Tottenham, getting on with stuff. Just
getting by. I do want to talk about Tottenham. I want to talk about the top four as well. What we're going to try and do as well, I've got some. I'm obsessed with Stathead, which is fucking useful because they're sponsoring the channel for a little while. And there's some real. I just Stathead. Like spend a bit of time on it again because I bloody love football. And in terms of the Player of the Year nominees, we'll have a look at that. And then I found another stat, which kind of I think it shows the truth when it comes to Man United, because obviously Man United got Liverpool this week, massive game. We're recording this before the ding dong affairs of Liverpool, Sheffield United, and Chelsea, Man United. So we don't really know where they're at, do we?
No.
But this will go out after the game. Do you have any from Chelsea, Man United? Do you have any? Do you want to have any predictions or guesses?
I mean, I could never guess. It could be anything. And that's why it will make an interesting game of football. I think Chelsea will turn up and win.
They'll play.
Oh, they'll play.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll go to it quick because this is interesting, right? So this is Stathead. So I'll tell you what. We'll chuck a link in the description. Go and get it if you kind of want to like really get into the weeds. It's really, really good. I bloody love it.
James, are you sitting there without videos to do looking at Stathead? Sometimes. Are you just sitting there perusing Stathead, are you?
I think it's more like, sometimes.
Are, aren't you? You bloody well are.
Because again, like, this specific video is not sponsored by Stathead, but what it does is it goes back to 1992 and you can make these like custom, you can use the FBref database to make custom tables. And I'm just really, it's a lovely time. If you want to go and look at like,
You're wrecked, aren't you? You're wrecked right
I'm
now.
Hard right now. Because if you want to go, say, look at Tottenham, you can look at Tottenham, look at their top strikers, players who scored over 10 goals between now and 1992-93. I think it goes back even further, actually. And you could then from there rank all these Tottenham players. It's just bloody good fun.
Well, do it then. Let me see.
I'm not going to do it right now because we'll do that another time. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
But Man United, right? So here's Man United, right? This one that I made this one here is non-penalty expected goals difference. So that means the XG that you've accumulated. Stay with me. The XG that you've accumulated over the season in games minus penalties. The XG against. Okay.
Right.
But this table here is if you take away penalties, because when someone gets a penalty, that's immediately 0.7 expected goals.
Yeah,
okay?
It's not really based on how effective you've been.
Exactly. So,
right. What does it tell us then?
So, if we do just normal rankings, right, when it comes to the league table, hang on, where are we? There's the league table, right? Arsenal, obviously, top of the tree. Look at them glistening at the top. Those sweet, sweet Gunners.
Yeah.
And hang on, sorry, I've done this differently. Oh, you can't have the normal one. Oh no, you can't. Right, forget it. Anyway, here is the interesting part, right? So this is the actual. Why can't I get the actual table? Look, don't worry about it. The important thing
I know what the fucking table
is, right?
Yeah.
The league rank. Well, here you go. League rank. This is where I'm clicking on the wrong thing. That's why. League rank. Man United are sixth in the league, right?
Yes.
Okay. Go to this non-penalty XG.
Yeah.
Goal difference. They are 16th in the league.
What does that mean?
That means, and I'll take this one. I'll take it on the single. I'll take it on the chin. Okay. Man United are the luckiest team in the Premier League this season.
Yeah. Yes.
Easily, wholeheartedly, saying it with my chest. Other seasons will be different, but this season, if Man United somehow get into the Champions League or get into the Conference League, it is the luckiest thing that's ever bloody happened, because they are currently 16th when it comes to XG difference, non-penalty goal XG difference, and the teams that they've got around them: Fulham, Wolves, Burnley, Luton, Sheffield United, Crystal Palace, West Ham. They're all in and around them. They are so fortunate to be where they are. They should be in 16th spot out of the 20 teams in the Premier League this year. And they are currently in 6th. That is wild to me.
That is crazy. James, that's not your opinion.
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned. These are statistics. Statistics don't have feelings, James. They just tell you the truth.
Do you know what's interesting as well? Actually, it's almost a preview to today's game.
How's Spurs doing then in this? What does it say about Tottenham? Tell me about that.
Okay, well, do you know what is interesting? Chelsea are fourth.
So I have been banging this drum that Chelsea no one.
You have been waiting for it to turn. That's true.
I know it, they do, you know, that game against Burnley, regardless of what stats tell you, Burnley were down to 10 men and they didn't beat them. In fact, Burnley came back with 10 men. That shows you something. But I think Chelsea are absolutely fine. They've just got to stick with it, but they won't. They will absolutely implode and they will remove, Pochettino will be removed when he shouldn't be. And if they just stick with him, they'll be absolutely fine. But they just cannot see the wood for the trees at the moment because of they can't quite accept and understand that they're a football club that is 12th in the league or whatever they are in the league. And that is all consuming to them rather than just sitting there and going, actually, what is happening? Are the results that bad? Are the performances that bad? The results are bad. Are the performances that bad? And will this turn? That's what I'd be saying. But I'd be crucified if I was a Chelsea fan saying that. I'd be crucified for it. Because Rory's made his mind up, right? All the Chelsea fans have made their mind up. This isn't right. It's fucking Spurs. This isn't right. He's a charlatan.
They are soft, though. They're soft.
Yeah, but so what? So what? It's not to mean that you should, like, not... Like, look, there's stats. This isn't an opinion. James, soft or not, soft is an opinion. Stats say fourth in the league.
Well, how would you feel if we play... How weird would a game of football become if it was based on non-penalty XG difference instead of actual goals? Everyone would just be like trying to like accumulate. You know. So going back to what you're saying about the Arsenal game and how boring that was, right? So in that game, I presume... Boy. Actually, the XG was pretty similar at half-time. At full-time, Man City were on top, right? But if that was the actual metric of winning games... This sort of like, right, let's just keep it. Well, it'd either be one extreme or the other. It'd be like completely keep the ball and then last 10 minutes, see if we can like get a couple of shots off to get our XG.
It would probably destroy the game. But, I do, the older I get, the more accepting of statistics and actually find them quite useful. And you can find narratives that are not immediately there. And it is useful, but there's one I can't abide, one statistic. Which I hate, which I think is soul destroyingly kills what's great about football, chaotic nature of it, that anybody can do something, is the win percentage from, I don't like in-game win percentages, I hate seeing those, but moreover, your percentage of where you're finishing the league, because they're generally right, more or less. You do get anomalies, but they are kind of correct. Why would you want to know in January the most likely way the season will end? To me, I wouldn't want to know that. I don't want to know that.
Or but to the other side of it, so with us, right, down the bottom, they were like, there's only a 4% chance of QPR going down, and we're like 1 point above the drop zone. I'm going, can you fuck off? I don't need that right
now. How does that work?
Like, we're just getting on our knees, and then I'm getting shot by stats. Don't need that.
Just quickly on QPR, because we did ask this question a while back.
Take your time.
For Fuentes, right? Genuinely, QPR are my second team now, without a shadow of a doubt. I watch out for their results every single week see how you're feeling.
Good.
I genuinely, like that goal,
Jimmy Dunn.
What a screamer. Left foot. I'm getting people message me going, you've seen QPR's results? Seen QPR's result? My mate. Anyway.
Talk about me getting hard. Now I've never seen the goal so many times. When it see the bounce, all I need, I don't even need to see the volley. I just need to see that. Just the chest up.
Loftus Road, the roar from Loftus Road that day. It was insane. You could hear it. I could hear it from Wiltshire. That's how loud Loftus Road was.
But
who's your big 16 though, Jim? Who's your big 16?
Cretins. And that's fun and that's cute, but who's your proper big 16?
Who's your proper team, you cretins?
yeah, you weirdo. Do you know, like way back when we had the fingers in mouths joke, which was just before COVID, importantly. Or was it? Was it in and around COVID?
The joke was that, didn't it come from that, saying that... If people don't know, if you're watching this and you're new... Go back. You can go on the clip, the clips channel. This, what I'm doing, was... possibly the funniest moment of my entire life.
it was
caught on camera.
That came back. We got away with that we probably should be talking about it now. But we went down this joke of that at QPR when we score, we put our fingers in each other's mouths.
And so we didn't know what COVID was.
We didn't really know what COVID was. Obviously, the trauma that COVID.
No one did.
We apologize for that. But going back to that, what I would say is, when a goal like that goes in, and I can feel it now, there is a bizarre. The celebration, there's a bizarre, but there is a feeling that you have to touch people. You've got to touch their faces. You just want to go, yeah. Just like, it's just touch.
Yeah.
And then I run over there. I'm going up, and then where's the other guys? I know you. And there's guys in front of me. I'm just gouging their eyes out. It's just like, yeah. It's just like, touch.
It is. It's just chaos and bedlam and mayhem.
Oh, it's fucking brilliant.
It is brilliant. There's nothing better.
Nothing better than that.
That's Ollie changes it. Dad, come here. Come in. Look, we're all doing it. That's how they celebrate, girls. That's the show.
That's right, yeah. It was great.
Listen.
Great times.
As for Fuentes, are you now? Is there a risk?
Yeah.
You stop it now. Do you know what I mean? Stop it. Let's stop winning. Let's not get big away results.
Yeah, let's rein it in now, Mark.
Let's just get a couple of draws. Keep the Sharks away.
Yeah. Well, I think I've decided we're on 46 points. I think we need 48. So beat Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday. And Jimbo thinks all's fine, which is insane. Yeah. It's insane. We've got. We've got a similar amount of points to Leicester since
he took over.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Unreal.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Greatest league in the world.
It is a great league. So,
would you see Leicester?
Right,
no, would you see Leicester? Sorry, quick question here, Jim. Would Leicester go and stink the place out because they're too scared to play? Would that happen in the Championship?
So Leicester, their arses fell out a little bit. They've got
they're too scared to play.
They've got a bit too much. No, well, no, they've got a disciple of Pep, haven't they? Maresca in the dugout.
Yes, right. That's right. Yeah.
But they've got a weird relationship where they were destroying the league, but they were playing very sort of slow football, intricate football. And the fans were kind of going, this is boring. This is really boring.
The Leicester fans?
Yeah. And Maresca was really? Like, if you don't believe in my methods, I will walk, kind of thing. Yeah. Paraphrasing there. So there is a weird kind of disconnect there. The fans, I think, were obviously not all Leicester fans, but some Leicester fans were going after Vardy a bit. Saying
Vardy? Yeah. He's playing. I know he scored at the weekend, but
he's missed a lot of chances as well, but that's the other thing I heard to Leicester. Yeah.
How dare they? Listen, do you know what that's funny you say that it's becoming more and more evident that being entertained is so important to fans. It's not always winning. And it's also always seemed as a bit of a small club mentality. It's like we want to win, but we want to win in the right way, right? You want to be entertained by it. And it was just interesting because West Ham fans have been constantly told by TalkSport and other people, you're never as good as as David Moyes. You're never as good as that. He's won you a European trophy. You'll never be as good as this. And the bloke rung up. I might have told you this before, Jim. He rang up, he goes, yeah, but it's soul destroying. You go there and the football is so boring. All right, we're grateful. Thank you for the trophy. But we want to go there. If we have to pay 60 quid, 70 quid to get in, we've got to see something that inspires us. And that isn't the way football is. That's not the way it works. You have to play your opposition. And I'm joking to some degree about what the way Arsenal set up. They did what they needed to do so they didn't lose. And I understood it, right?
Yeah, but it works for you.
Yeah, whatever works. But the entertainment factor has become more and more important, I think.
I agree. I totally agree. I think also in terms of your development as a club, the way that if you want to get better players and create assets that you can sell, you have to play good football. You know, when QPR had Gareth Ainsworth and we're playing long ball. If you bring in a youngster to play centre midfield, and you know, some scout comes that could has got a bit of money, you know, we could have some money for this guy, and you come watch this midfielder, and the midfielder is doing this. That's not, we don't know if he's any good at football. So it's only for when you're playing in a good team that you go, wow, look, that can level up because I can see you're technically good enough to do that. So you can, that's another it's part. Fine. Smart. Yeah, smart business.
It's fine to play a certain way in certain games to get out of situations or give yourself the best chance. That there's no issue in that. But when it's your entire identity, it's very difficult as a fan.
Yeah,
to get on board.
Can I read you something? Because well. I'm pleased you brought that up, because I think this is really... So I'm really enjoying, I presume it's Alex, but it's, his Twitter is this. It's 4LEX_MCFC. Super smart dude. Writes threads on Twitter. I think probably does content as well. Forgive me if he... He's a football writer, junior analyst. So impressed by him. And he just kind of... Yeah, he gets into the weeds and I like it. Anyway, he said this. After the game yesterday, it's not something we as fans have control over, obviously, but a theme that has stuck in my brain all season is the relationship between enjoying your team's football, brackets, and identity, and that team being successful. First with Ange and Spurs, then with Luton, now with City. The other side of it, you could say West Ham. They're not really enjoying that football. The peak of football today is greatly influenced by optimization in the name of success. So much so that the beautiful game seems to be losing some of its magic. It's a theme that has come up in most of my narrative-driven pieces this season. I'm not writing this with much greater clarity than any other time before, but that Foden performance has me thinking of it yet again. Maybe it's coming from a place of privilege as a City fan, but I don't think I'd care much about... bold take. I don't think I'd care much about trophies if I got to witness that sort of performance week in, week out. Maybe that's reactionary. Maybe that's just what I value as a fan. Is that crazy? Does it sit well with you for clubs to compromise on enjoyment of the game or even their identity for the sake of objective success? And Harry is one of our patrons. And if you want to be with us live when we do the podcast, please become a patron because it's lovely to have you. Harry Adderley's a Stoke fan. And this is interesting because my good mate's a Stoke fan. And he is of the similar opinion where he says... I just want Stoke to win. I don't care. And I don't care how, sorry. I think there are some clubs that are a bit more chilled out with it. And I do think success washes away a lot of things. But it's a complicated one, isn't it?
Yeah, Alex is in a very privileged position to make that comment, although I appreciate fully what
he's
saying.
Which he says himself.
Yeah, he does. He does. And it's much easier to make that position, having all the success, cheated success and financially dope success, allegedly, but success all the same. He can make that point, right? I'm in a better position, I think, as a Spurs fan who's not seen us win anything apart from a couple of league cups, and say that because there's absolutely no guarantee of any way of achieving success in any style of play, it's much, much more easier to get on board with a style of play that is attractive to watch. And so you can't, it has to be that way, because we tried it with Conte and Mourinho. They looked at what we had. They decided, and I generally, they decided that for the correct reasons, even though the football was sort of horrible, that this was the best way for us to play given the profile of the squad. So you can appreciate it. And under Mourinho, if people forget, we were top of the league for 4 weeks in November. It was working.
Yeah,
it was just like
Conte worked to a point, didn't it? Until it
crashed. Yeah, definitely worked to a point. But the problem is, you're sitting there and you're thinking, we're literally waiting for them to make a mistake so we can launch a counter attack, and you can do that for 90 minutes. Arsenal did it against City. You can do that, but you can't do it for a season and not win, because if you don't win, the patience is so low. So, yeah.
So let me ask you another question. Question for the chat as well. I'd love, get your senses in. We'll read some. What is, because there is so much talk about this, because that game, Arsenal-Man City, was difficult. And it's because they're just so well-drilled. They're so switched on. And they are such a collective now. Like before, there was, I think one big thing with football is that there is so much analysis, so much video, that you as a player have such a broader understanding of the collective of your team on the pitch, as opposed to back in the day, you kind of were saying you would listen to your where your manager was saying to kind of go to, but you might not have the same pictures. And so when that's the case, like your the team itself is, has become like a body, and it's that means that it's one on one, and you're kind of cancelling each other out instead of all these different little elements. So but like everyone's saying they want attacking, like entertaining football. What is entertaining football? What are you after? It's,
yeah, I think it's possessions and shot count. That's essentially what you what you're after in the most basic terms. How many shots are you having in the game? What are the quality of those chances? And how much possession did you have? Are you influencing in the game in a positive way? That that on a, as a base level, that's what you should be trying to do. And I'm only saying that because that's kind of what Postecoglou is. There's criticism for Postecoglou as well. There isn't this just massive loving at Tottenham for Postecoglou. I'm fully on board and like let's just see where this train takes us.
Yeah.
Right? But there are people that are saying that he is trying to overplay and we need to be a little bit more direct at times when, you know, you've got a team like West Ham were at the week at the on Monday night, Tuesday night, whatever it was, who just sat back and tried to play transitional football. And we're trying to intricately weave away through this stubborn defence. It's resulting in a few, much fewer shots than we were experiencing before when everyone didn't try and stink the game out when they were playing against Tottenham. But I think it's that, though. I think it's possession, chance creation, and that quality of chance as well. But I just wanted to pick up something here, Jim, from Harry Adley. He says, it's easy to say I don't care about trophies when you win it all, which we said. When a team like Stoke, who have just won one major trophy in the history of the club, I just want success. I don't care how we play. I agree with you, Harry. I mean, if success is guaranteed, if you said to me, we're going to win the league this year, but we are going to be playing counter-attack, low block all season, but at the end, you've got a guarantee of a league title, then you go, fine, absolutely. Or even a chance at winning, like 50% chance to win the league. But there is no guarantee that playing pragmatic football will achieve any more success than playing an attractive brand of football. So the point is what's happening in between games? In between games, are you looking forward to what you're going to see at the weekend? Last season under Conte, no, not at all. I did as much as I can not to think about Spurs. Now it's constantly thinking about Spurs in a positive way. And that's the shift. And that's important. Because how do you feel about your football club when you're not playing?
And that's, but that's so percentage wise, I don't think you can go, you can't go 100% either way. But that, the percentage of that, what percentage of that is the style of play? What percentage is the success of the team and the fact that you're playing?
For Postecoglou this season, it.
Because you're still fighting for Champions League, which is exciting, isn't it?
It's exciting. I would have bitten your hand off for this position.
So that's success, isn't it? So what percentage of it is that? What's the breakup of those two?
Yeah, success this season. It has been a successful season if we qualify for the Champions League. I would say 60-40. 60 in entertainment.
Style. Yeah.
So, but the problem is we've got now, Jim, is it's not, it's everyone else is ruining it for us. All the other clubs are ruining it.
What?
Because they won't. Because they won't
play ball.
They won't. They're doing what they should do, and it's really annoying.
Yeah.
Like, don't play us. Don't try and match man for man. If you, the best way to stop Tottenham is doing exactly what all these teams are doing, and it works, and it's really frustrating because I just want to see a really good game of football now.
I think there's a couple of things here, right? So one, I think the word optimization is a great word that Alex uses. And I think that's the thing that's happening a lot of the time. And so coming back to what is entertaining football, for me, I think, James Raven says, pass it forwards. I think there's, a positivity and a freedom, I think free and a tempo. I would say those are the three words that I would like to see. And then from the success element, success is ultimately achieving, or when you can't achieve and it just be about the trophy, because there's literally, one team that wins that. Success then means exceeding expectations, right? So say with that, and that's why Fuentes is probably one of the best managers on the planet right now, because we're marrying
pound for pound.
But we are exceeding expectations. That's the thing of where we were and the depths that we had. So that's a coal that's quite strong. So the fuel of that will keep the train going for quite a while.
The exceeding expectations is the key to how happy you are as a fan. We were talking on Mailbag yesterday, and we didn't pick up on it, but Catherine, who's a Villa fan, said, because I was talking about some Spurs fans being disgruntled, and she said, we're just having a great time. Villa fans are just loving this.
Good.
We're having a great time. It's because Villa are exceeding expectation.
Yeah.
Arsenal this season are exceeding expectation. What happens is when you plateau, and that's what Tottenham feel like they have done as a football club.
Yeah.
And I think that there are people less happy than you would assume, because it feels like we've plateaued. We're not exceeding expectations. And because that as a fan.
Because your baseline is to dominate now, isn't it? Whereas you're like, oh my God, we're dominating. You were the first half of the season, you were, oh my God, we're dominating and we're winning.
Yeah.
Hard ons all around. Now you're dominating and we were like, well, come on, win. And so that's the thing that you've got to kind of deal with. And that can affect the minds of the players at some point.
That's it, James. That's exactly it. That's exactly how fans are feeling. Not me, by the way. I'm like, this is great. I can feel like we're setting up for something. Like, what we're finding difficult this season with the correct transfer policy and these ideas being drilled into these players' heads won't be as big an issue next season. And so if that we can start breaking teams down at will, similar to what Arsenal and City seem to be able to do, because they have that quality technical player that Spurs might be lacking, certainly in the wide areas, if we can get through that the next season could be a really, really exciting one. But it seems like, and I don't know if this is symptomatic of all football fans, but some fans can't see past the most recent result, and it's the be all and end all regardless. If you don't win, it's like the world is crashing down around your ears. And I think a lot of that is from influence from YouTube, from what Arsenal Fan TV was, to this idea that ranting is passion when it isn't. And the fact that everybody has a platform on Twitter that everyone feels like they need to be reactive and be explosive and be not, the last thing they want to be is measured, because they won't be heard.
Wow.
And that's why. Yeah.
That's a bar, Flav.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, you're, because that was on the mailbag as well. Someone's saying the difference between being, but it's either you're good or you're going to get sacked. And like we laugh around that. We go, how many games has he got? Things like that. And like, and obviously that's part of the fun. But like, when it is your own team, you have to have, people have to have more clarity now. What I would say with the YouTube thing is that I think people are going to the fans that generally they can trust a bit more. Like, I feel like I've seen that a lot.
Yeah.
There's like there's becoming this sort of hand-holding exercise for these influencers of positivity overall, of like to sort of navigate the emotions of their people. I'm seeing that more and more and more, I think. And the people that kind of other people that want that, they want to be associated with those kind of fans. So maybe it is evolving a little bit. I think the other thing, last thing I'll say about Spurs is that, in terms of the road that you're on, if you think of, say, like the way football's played, there's a tipping point as well, right? If you're not sure if the opposition's good or not, the mentality you play against them, the risks that you take against them, you're more proactive as an opposition, right? Then there's a moment, and so I can come back to the Man City Villa game last night. The first half of that game, and Villa were bare bones, right? But Man City made a lot of changes as well, right? The first half of that game, it was tight. It was, you know, Man City obviously dominated the ball more so. But
I watched it all.
Villa were having a bit of a go. Went 1-0 down, went 1-1, and then Rodri the free kick, which is, obviously it's one of Foden's goals, but it's a shit free kick. Like, it's
yeah, it was poor. The wall was terrible.
Just and that is an absolute killer for Aston Villa going in at half time. Whereas if they come out, so the game state matters. And as the game progressed in the second half, they utterly wilted through, I think, as much, you know, Man City turning it on and just general tiredness, maybe, but also lack of belief as well. So for Tottenham, the stages for you is like, first of all, there's like, people don't, you're an unknown entity, just a baby. You're just yeast.
A little baby.
And then yeah. The next stage is that the opposition are like, oh, they're better than us. And our best way of stopping them is just to sort of sit, right? And then the next stage will be going, well, we're going to break you down anyway. And that's something, coming back to that Man City game, is like, one thing that I didn't think about, but it kind of slapped me in the face in that game, is that even a game against Villa, who are going for the Champions League, Emery made some changes that he was just safeguarding the team for the next game. And in terms of that mental dominance that Man City have over everyone, that is still really, really strong. And that's something you'll have to like accumulate over time as well when it comes to Spurs as well.
Yeah, yeah, there is a respect. Because I was looking at Man City and obviously Villa weren't as defensive as West Ham. They gave it a go. Did a good job, I thought. Like you said, Jim, most of the first half, they did a good job. But Man City found it so easy. Their patterns, their attacking cycles, the way they move the ball. And in fact, there is this sort of, even though Grealish started and Doku was playing on the wrong side, or the alternative side, it still all seems so fluid. Like they all knew where to be. And that's such an obvious thing, but sometimes when watching Spurs is that we're lacking that fluidity. But Postecoglou is 8 months into a job, whereas Guardiola, with all the resources, has been there seven years or however long it's been. So it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
Quickly on Villa, though.
Yeah.
Why did they... Like, and I don't know the subtext to the game and why you made those selections, but it seemed like a weird... team, but is it just loads of injuries? What?
Yeah, I think several injuries. Guy was alone at QPR last year, Tim Irigbunam, who played. I think Douglas Luiz is struggling with that, the new setup. So I had a Gary Lineker windy pop there. Yeah, they just got a lot of players missing, which I think some will be back soon. But they've got 8 out, I think. The only team with more is Chelsea, actually, with 11. I did it just because people were saying it in the chat a few times. They were asking about Everton. Are Everton the most unlucky team? So Everton should be 7th in the league currently.
Ooh!
But are down the bottom, sadly. I think it's that XG was piled up more so in the first 15 games of the season, I would guess. But it is getting a bit sticky for Everton. Did you see I got sent a message from someone about the Nottingham Forest fan on the overlap fan debate. Did you watch that?
No.
Basically,
I know who you're talking about, though.
Okay, so the top, you know, because you weren't there, they couldn't go after you. So they went after this Forest fan who said that, let me see if I can find it, because someone sent me a tweet about it, because it was Will. He said, okay, so it's Will's a Norwich fan, but the clip was basically of a Nottingham Forest fan saying that, yeah, we broke the rules, but we had to because it was the only way we were going to stay up. So it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a long discussion that needs to happen on this, but I think it's so Will, who's a Norwich fan, he said, we get hit with the stick of not trying when we go up. And it's not that. We just don't have owners who can bail us out of 30 million plus every season. So we have to balance the sheets with no owner input. That's why it annoys me so much. But yeah, he was getting hammered for it. What was it?
Yeah, that's a terrible take.
He tripped himself up at the end because he said, you know, Luton haven't broken the rules. And the only reason Luton might stay up this year is because of our points deduction. And I was like, well, so... if you hadn't broken the rules, you wouldn't have a point deduction, so you're probably going to get it.
So you hadn't broken the rules. So, that's a horrible take, a horrendous take. And it's saying that we wanted all of the benefits of being in the Premier League, all of your money, and we're going to break the rules because it gives us the best chance of staying up. That's why it probably, like, that was a show. If that's the attitude, the 4 points isn't enough and they need more because they haven't learned their lesson.
Let me put this to you though. And
what if they breach again? What if they breach again?
So one of them, what if they breach again? Yeah, absolutely. And also, but also, there's this weird thing where you kind of go into the Premier League to be possibly a whipping boy, not winning as many games, not really having any real chance of winning that league.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's bizarre and sort of slaps in the face of generally why you support a team, because you want your team to go and do good things. And you're happy to break the rules for that and have a points deduction. But I would love to see a vote where you had a lineup of every moisty here and no one knew who what they were going to vote for, but you could sign something that says you're going to break, you get, depending on your football club. Like, so for example, with Everton, would you go, look, break the rules, but it will keep you up this year?
Would you break the rules?
And I was going to say to you earlier, like, in terms of the exceeding expectation, but how you do it, if someone came in the summer and it was kind of like the Roman Abramovich old days, and it was like, you're going to buy the title. We're buying the title. Would you happily do that?
Yeah, probably. But that hasn't happened. And so that isn't my position until it does. And then I'll find a way of defending my football club, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? But in this instance, I'm not a Nottingham Forest fan. I haven't had to be put in this situation. And so I can say that to the guy, that what your position is a horrendous one. Right, we're all hypocrites. The fact is, though, is Luton played ball, right? And not only did they play ball, they're 60%. They won't go over 60% of their wage to turnover, which is admirable.
Could they?
Given what they're doing,
could they?
So what? So if you're saying I'm fine with Forest cheating in order to relegate Luton, that's severely unfair.
And so I'm saying to you, I can give you Tottenham Hotspur 10 points now, but you're gonna have to start on minus 10 next season. Would you take it? It would put you second top.
No, because we're gonna win the league next year.
So you wouldn't take it?
No, not to start 9-10. You're writing off an entire season. Like, all right, if we don't win the league. There's so much. This is the thing.
This is what winds me up.
And this is what there needs to be a concentration of this. We are in a situation where glory and success seemingly can only be achieved if you win the league or you win a cup. When the actual reality of following a football club week in, week out, is there through a season many moments of glory, many moments of an explosion of excitement. It's those moments that are really important. And how many did you have during the season? Did you get one over on your arch rivals? How many last minute winners did you get? Those moments of of glory and unbridled euphoria is what football is about. And that's why, regardless of where you are in the league and why you don't need to be have a big six club, because regardless of where you are and right, or the position you are in the football pyramid, fans across the country are feeling those things each week. And sometimes it'll be QPR's turn. Sometimes it'll be Shrewsbury's turn. Sometimes it'll be Spurs' turn. And at the end of the season, you haven't won the league because you're not financially doped. It's not the end of the world.
Joe, to that point, what was mad was that after we won the Swansea game, there's a bit of a joke that QPR just are always 16th. And we were in 16th. And someone tweeted me and he was like, "Jim, we're home." I was like, "That's it." And I was like, "Wow, like, I've never been happy to be 16th.
We're home.
We're home, Jim."
Yeah, sorry. Though Reece said, "When are we getting our moments? When everyone getting our moments? Yeah, you haven't had any moments. To be
when
fair.
Are we celebrating? When are we going to be celebrating the league?
When are we going to be? The it is like
to celebrate. Why is it always their turn?
I genuinely think out of the league, the most miserable situation is Everton's.
Reading in the EFL. I got Neve put me in my place with that, which I was like, yeah, Reading is, that's horrible right now.
Yeah, no, but in the Premier League, Everton, just because of the size of the football club, the expectation, the amount of money that's been spent previously, the new stadium, there are many things or many opportunities for Everton to have kicked on, and they just haven't.
Can I tell just for two people as well? Reece Jones is in the chat, and Kai, my producer. Both Everton and Wales fans, they had a absolute cunt of a week last week, where they got to the final, got to penalties, lose on penalties, then play Everton, play Bournemouth, go behind, get one last minute equaliser, result, last minute own goal from Seamus Coleman, like your guy. Horrific.
Yeah. Tough time.
Right.
Someone just said Ben. Okay, we can talk about it, but Ben just said Everton in the doldrums. Do you know what the doldrums are?
No.
Do you know it's an actual official place on Earth?
Is it?
It's an area, it's a patch of sea or ocean where there's no wind. There's no wind and there's very little current. And it's just, you sit in nothingness.
Flat.
That's what the doldrums are.
Well, but I mean, look, Everton might go down. So they're not in the doldrums.
Yeah, look, you're trying to play for something.
In quicksand.
So just before we move on to your Premier League players, your nominees, right?
Yes.
Isn't it mad? Because I wanted to say this all episode, but I don't want to forget. What Pep Guardiola's disciples are doing, he's just fucking shooting them out. And he's like, bang, have another one. Football, bang. Do you want another one? Bang. What, another technical manager? Yeah. Everywhere. Just coming over football.
So who are you talking about, though? He's chucking Alonso in there? Put him in there?
Yeah. Alonso, Arteta, Ten Hag, the guy at Leicester.
Mariska,
number two. Kobe, you're number two and you'll end up a great manager.
Yeah.
I wish you're wanting to fuck off now, though, don't we?
Off you go.
Come on, enough. Just fuck off.
I know, I get it. You're great. It's weird, isn't it? Because I've always kind of had this idea that next year is the year where it's going to be amazing. But this season's been brilliant. So
I don't want to hear any of this. I think my time at Manchester City is done. When all the charges hit. I don't want to hear him going, "I think I've done everything I can for Man City." You fucking go down with him.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Does he have to? When can he leave? He's got to go tonight.
He's got to stick around. Like, fingers crossed, they go down to like League Two or something.
Sure.
Whoever will have them.
Yeah.
Because there's no point. There's no punishment in sending them to the Championship, is there? It makes it unfair for everybody else, and they'll just come straight back up within 2 years. It might as well never have happened.
I'd be amazed if they ever got relegated past the Championship.
Conference North.
It'd be like start a one-year thing where it looks bad, but it's not really that bad.
Yeah.
They just have like an absolute. I mean, would it be that different? You just pump really. Teams in the Championship, or you pump teams in the Prem.
But you're essentially taking a promotion place away from... There is a team in the Championship that will be punished because of Man City's indiscretion.
Although I guess you get an extra one going up because of the discretions as well. Do you know
that's
what I mean?
True. Yeah,
unless you go, that, right, we're going to have a 19-team league this year, and next year we'll have an extra one so no one misses out. That might be right. Might be fair.
Or just disband Man City. Destroy them.
Either or.
Yeah.
Either or.
Do you know someone... I had a conversation about rivalry with this guy who was writing a dissertation. He interviewed me about rivalry in football. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, if you could turn a switch and Arsenal disappeared, would you press that switch? Would you so that they just didn't exist? Because his questioning was, you need your rivals, right? You need the competition.
Sure. You need a protagonist.
I'd press the button without hesitation. You don't need... We'll get another rival. We'll get someone else.
Find someone else. Yeah.
Imagine that. Dosh, gone.
Because I think for you...
Couldn't think of anything better.
Yeah, there's a lovely level of bitterness brimming there. That means that you would then you'd find another rival, but every time you looked at that rival, you'd be thinking about the final moments of burning Arsenal. There'd be like a fire.
Yeah.
If you zoomed into your eyes, it'd be like a fire just burning.
Yeah. If you want, you could imagine them... Yeah. You know, as a human being hooked up to a life support.
Would I get rid of Chelsea? I think I would.
Yeah.
Because we don't really interact now anyway. So you'd just be going...
I don't like... James, I really whoops. Don't like it. I don't like this idea. I don't like this idea that you have to... Oh, you need your rivals. I wouldn't really want to do it without them. Like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Burn them to the ground. Gone.
A lot less stress. Thing as well, do you know what the problem is? You're not going to like this sentence, but as the B-side of a rivalry, it's more annoying because you don't get... rivalry.
What did you just say?
You have the rivalry, you don't get the payoff.
You're talking about QPR and Chelsea, though, right? Not talking about...
Tottenham and Arsenal. You are the B-side.
We're not... Fuck off, James. Don't ever say that to me again.
You have to say that.
No, I don't. Do not have to take
Arsenal
that at all.
A, that's what A stands for in Arsenal. Otherwise, it'd be B-sinal.
Should we go back to find out what type of club Arsenal actually are? Do you want to go over that again? Should we retread the path? Do I have to do that?
No, I don't.
There is nothing they can do. Ever do.
But
nothing they can achieve, no matter how good they get, they could ever be anything other than what they are, right? Which is the bastards of football.
B-side. They get more... So, right, all I'm saying is, in terms of the process of rivalry, right? You have the lead up to rivalry, you have the big bang of the game, and then you have the aftermath of rivalry. Generally, Arsenal get the better side of the rivalry. They get to experience the better side of the aftermath of the rivalry.
No, because they have to be Arsenal. They have to be them. That's the thing, and that means that we can never lose because we will never be them. I would never have to live my life as an Arsenal fan. Therefore, I can never lose. Does that make sense?
Sort of.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they win more, don't they? They win more.
Win more, lose more, whatever. Fucking Genghis Khan conquered many, many, many countries.
What's the point of the rivalry?
Still cunt,
about winning and losing, though.
It's not. You're misunderstanding. I don't think you understand, James. I haven't got time to explain it to you. So. That's
Rob Turner says, sweetest thing by U2 is also a B-side. Name another one. I'm the worst with the B-side. Fair enough. Okay, right. Player of the year nominees. I've got a whole host of names here. People in the chat, let us know if there are names that we are missing out here. I'll tell you what, I'll even bloody show you it. So there it is. Jotted a few down. Mm-hmm. What I think we need to do is it's there in black and white. Decide on six. So, just kind of get your general thoughts on the players in there. And not put a Tottenham player in there. So I'm sure you'll be desperate to sort of sneak one in somehow. And you obviously can make your case for that. So,
okay.
I've got options include, and obviously you're going to have quite a few from the top sides. And Jot, I've just realised, and Jot's amazing because I have realised it. people in the chat probably spotted it as well, or people have seen it on the screen, and they're gone, and they're going, because I've not put Salah on there. Okay, we put Salah in there. Fucking calm down.
But boring, though, isn't it? There's a couple of boring entries.
When you shout at me like that, that's what I see. All I see is Solanke, all that. Okay?
Yeah, but James, it's boring, isn't it?
It is a bit boring, but he is good. But
no, my point is Salah, putting Salah in boring. Like, he's won it before. Like, fuck, it's boring. Give it someone else.
Yeah, that's how we should do it. It's not like, it's not about being fair. It's a bit different kind of being fair, isn't it? So we take Salah out of the six.
Yeah, let's take Salah out.
He's had a go.
He's done it. It's boring, right? It's boring.
Yeah, it's boring. For the good of the trophy itself, Salah.
You can't have Solanke there just because he plays for plucky little Bournemouth.
Well, thank you for the link. Let's go straight to Stathead. Because Dominic Solanke, in terms of non-penalty XG, it is high, but he's running hot. Is our boy?
What, is that all it is then? Is it? 16... Is that how scoring goals gets you a nomination for a fucking?
Oh, I think it's part of it. I think it's certainly part of it. Solanke's second in the league when it comes to that. 16.
That's
goals.
Weird. Did you put Saka in that list? Didn't you?
I did.
Saka's in the nomination so far. Yeah. So if we're basing it on that, I mean, Son's got more. Oh, that's strange. Not in the list.
Well,
weird.
Looking at the non-penalty XG. I might have to go to the non-penalty XG difference.
This is the thing, James.
That's mad.
I wouldn't have him and Son in there. So why is Saka? What's Saka doing there?
Saka's. Do you know what I think is important with this and gets lost, right? And there's two answers. Because say everyone's voting now, right? Because they seem to have this thing where you have to vote.
Hang on a minute. Sorry. 26. Some him and Son's played two fewer games as well than Saka. Still not on the list. Weird. Very odd.
Well, we could put him on the list.
I don't want him on there. He doesn't deserve to be on there, nor does Saka. That's what my point was. Get Saka off the list. Take him off.
You want Saka off? Okay. I'm all right with Saka coming off.
Fuck him off.
What I want to say is...
Let his country down as well. Don't forget that.
That's why I didn't put Rashford and Sancho on there. it's a joke. The thing that gets forgotten is the first half of the season.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going on about... Do you remember everyone going about Trent? I haven't even got him on the list right now because he's been injured for the last month or so. The recency bias on the player of the year...
Yeah.
It's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah, it is wild. So we got to cut this down. Who are we getting at? I'm going to leave... Are you putting Yadim on? We need to cut it down.
I just want to... You know, Kelleher, Jane, fuck, shit like that. That's a joke. It has to be a joke. He's not really saying Kelleher.
Who's it? That's the goalkeeper, is he?
Yeah, Liverpool goalie. Branthwaite has been good, but not player of the season. Doesn't deserve a mention.
Someone that isn't in the top six.
He's defending for the Newcastle goal at the weekend. People need to, he's got to calm down on Branthwaite. He's great. He's great.
He's young.
Slow down. Poor lad.
Yeah. Right. Van der Ven is not on there, and he is the best centre back in the league. So that's weird.
Why is no one talking about him anymore?
They are. He's just quietly good. I think everybody got a little bit sick of hearing about Spurs. Like Postecoglou was the darling.
Yeah,
we were constantly being talked about, and even we were like, "All right, shut up about us now."
Really. Yeah, it was getting a bit.
It's almost like it's
giving you a shiver. I can see you shivering when we're going, isn't Ange such a great guy? And you're like, do you want to fuck off?
Yeah, he's our guy. So fucking.
Okay, let's spin it round. Okay, we've got six spots.
Yeah.
The short list. Who has to be on the list?
Rodri, Foden, Rice.
Well, okay, let's go one by one. Rodri, absolutely.
Yes. I heard a stat yesterday that he's undefeated in something like 58 games or something.
I think it's more, mate. I think it's like 63, 67, something stupid. It's
when he plays, they don't lose, essentially.
And he'll play. And he'll win.
Has there ever been a player as effective as that in the history? Is that a record? Do you know? I'm throwing a lot of questions you might not know the answer to.
I would imagine it is. Because that is insane. I think there's one with Van Dijk as well, and I'm sure the Liverpool fans will be able to tell me. I think he's
what
like...
you mean the Liverpool fans piping up when we get something wrong?
No, never. No, I think with Van Dijk at home at Anfield, I think Van Dijk's like he's either like he's lost once or he's like never lost at Anfield or something stupid like that. Like
yeah, something crazy. The people in the chat. Ross Barkley, why isn't he mentioned? Has Ross Barkley had a better season than Douglas Luiz?
No.
Has he had a better season than Cole Palmer?
Can we talk
about what he's
Cole
playing
Palmer.
With?
Let's talk about Cole Palmer.
I'm sorry, you should have Ross Barkley in there.
Well, I don't think Ross Barkley. I think so.
What? Why? I'm surprised from you, Jim. You of all people.
I think Ross Barkley is great. I think he's turned his career around a bit, and that's all great. But
he's been overdoing it. Everyone's overdoing it a bit.
Maybe.
Dean Saunders said he should be in the England squad.
Well, if Dean says it. I've told you my thing about Dean. I remember listening to Dean on TalkSport. And I've heard great things about Dean Saunders. Apparently he's got thousands of stories. And apparently he's a bloody lovely bloke. But it was put to him that Everton needed to start scoring goals. And how do they do that? And he went, they've got to get a striker through the door. They've got to get a striker. They need a striker to score the goals. Okay, interesting. The host goes, who do you think would be a good striker for them to get? Dean said they need a striker.
Get Cole Palmer out of that list. He's not.
You're not putting him on there?
Are you putting him on there? He's had a good season.
Can I just say?
Go on.
Whilst we're having the theme of non-penalty XG. I mean, that looks... His non-penalty XG is mental, right? 5.8 and he's got 13 goals. What's happened here? I mean, look at his overall XG. It's 10.5. Again, 13 goals. Closer. Makes more sense. Because he scores loads of penalties. How many penalties has he got this year? That's what I want to know. I'm not sure I can find it here. Six penalties. I don't want that to take away from him because he's obviously amazing and keeping it together. But coming back to the theme of this podcast once again, success in terms of the output of something and then the bits in between, the intangibles, are two different things. And Cole Palmer's played well enough. He's played good. But the penalties mean that his numbers are higher, which helps. So he's now probably getting overhyped a touch. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, exactly. So get him out.
So he's not putting him in. No, he's out. Okay.
We've got to whittle it down. We're beer all day, James.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Cole Palmer, not Cole in the Palmer. Six. Yeah.
No, Douglas Luiz out.
Douglas Luiz. Oh, that's cruel.
Bowen in.
Yeah, I'm okay with Bowen in.
Van Dijk out.
Solanke, 60 goals, deserves to be in the six for me. I think he deserves to be in the six.
All right, I'm with you. Leave him in then. Get rid of Trent.
Saliba, Odegaard, Gabriel.
You're not having all three. I'll let you have one. That's it. You choose.
I'm actually going to go with Odegaard. I think he's
okay.
I think he's talisman for the side. Declan Rice. Declan Rice has to be in. Has to be in.
I don't think you can have two Arsenal in there, just for my sake.
Okay. So I think definitely you have to have these five, I would say.
Get Watkins out.
No, you can't have Watkins out. Watkins has to go in. In mine, he's in mine. You could have your own.
Watkins, he's got 27. What's his goal? Goals and assists is pretty impressive this season.
Mental. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Where are we? All right. Where is he? Where are you, Ollie? 16 goals.
16 goals and how many assists? I think he's got 10 assists, isn't he?
I've got it on this one.
I'll tell you, 2 seconds.
Where is his assist? Assists, there we go. He's got 10 assists. Fuck.
That's fucking insane.
Goals and assists,
that's 26.
Top. 26.
Yeah, all right, fair play.
Six penalties for Cole Palmer. You can see it there on this. As I say,
stop talking about Cole Palmer.
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh, it helps with your... Sorry, he's doing a little bit.
No, it doesn't. But I hadn't answered that question, but he's got six penalties.
I said six, didn't I?
I heard someone saying that, like, people going on about the penalties, and it's like, you've still got to score them. Yeah, but it's a kick.
12 yards out.
As much as you can miss it, you can score it. It's a kick.
Yeah, what is the conversion rate? About 70%, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. But that's why the XG is different.
Do you know it's slightly less with left footers as well? You know, there's like this idea that left footers shouldn't take penalties. It's slightly less. Because they're a bit cack-handed, isn't it? It's like left-handed people are a bit cack-handed. You're like a little bit like, oh, God, do I have to talk to that bloke? Do I really have to talk to it? It's like if you meet a new bloke and you're in a new mate and you realize they're left handed, you're like, oh, God.
Oh, no, yeah. He tries to shake you with his left hand. What
are you doing? This is what everyone else does it like that, pal. Like that.
Pal, sunshine.
Pal.
I definitely want those five. And then my sixth is, I want Solanke. I'm having Solanke. That's my six. What's your six? You want Watkins out? Are you keeping him in?
No, Watkins has to be in. Has to be in.
Okay.
I don't disagree with. I don't disagree with that. For the record, Foden, and I tweeted this last night, and I'm getting lots of fucking replies. That was compounded by JLA making a little artwork.
Beautiful, isn't it? Nice.
It was actually. It looked nice. It did look nice, but it really rattled.
Good.
Yeah, he did. Who is that? Who's that cheeky little monkey doing that really quickly?
Can't say his name because you've got another job.
Okay, fair play.
Ollie Sage says, Joe Gomez overlooked yet again by Jim. Very good. Yeah, go on, Phil Foden. Is he the best player in the Premier League?
Yes, he is, hands down. He's
not the best player in the team.
He is, though, isn't he? It's like, what was interesting, because it's almost like everyone knows it's him. He will get it. He should get it, and he deserves it, I think. But every conversation, he's so good that every conversation is about Southgate and England. So he's got to play him through the middle. He has to play him through the middle, surely. Yeah. So even he can see that now. And for that reason, yeah, I'm not sure if he is, he's mean over across the rest of his Premier League career, that he will be the best player in the Premier League for that time. But his form at the moment is sensational. He's just unplayable. He is a magician.
He is very good.
Yeah. He's very good. He's very good. I just can't quite work out his head. He's got a weird head. Yeah. Shape of it, the hair, mental.
If he wins any player of the year things ahead of Rodri, it's a disgrace.
Don't score goals though, does he, Rodgers?
He does though.
Does he?
Yeah.
It's not as many goals as Foden. Didn't he score last night actually?
He scored the first one. Yeah, he's got seven. I think it's 17 goal contributions this year or something ridiculous like that. Yeah, goal contribution. Yeah, goal creating actions. 17.
Wow. You know he and five in the Champions League as well. Fucking hell.
Six goals.
Fair play. I'm wrong, and that's from a holding midfielder as well. Though is there such a thing in Pep's system? And you know what I don't like about him is he tucks his untucked. You look like an absolute sex pest. Yeah. No, he looks like a paedophile.
Is that going to become cool, like in an ironic sense? You know, like the sort of New Balance daddy shoes became a thing.
No. Yeah. No, it won't. Like, if Scott Parker couldn't make it cool, no one can.
Yeah.
Why does he do it?
I think there's only sort of... I'm not saying Rodri's like Scott Parker, but there's certain sections of him that feel kind of similar. And there's a player who plays for Benfica called Neves, who tucks his shirt in. And
he's sensible.
Yeah, and he's a bit like Scott Parker.
Yeah, he's sensible.
Yeah, he's a sensible player. Sensible players tuck the shirt in, don't they?
Rodri's
scary. The second Foden goal, you watch that Foden goal back, it's Rodri kind of stepping in, doing this little like doo-doo pass to him. And then Foden scores. And if you see on the wide shot, Rodri just goes like that. As in like, because he knows, I made that, him. Really.
I did that. Yes. He said if I scored 10 goals, everybody, all of the Man City team have to tuck their shirts in for a game.
Really? I'd love to see that.
I'd like to see that. Jack Grealish doesn't look happy, does he?
No, he doesn't.
He's not happy, boy. Come Spurs.
Joy, he'd have a great time at Spurs. Him and Madders. Oh, think of the content. Think of the views. The Tottenham media team be like, buzzy. Absolutely.
He's the right attitude. Right attitude as well. Yeah. Will fit in. Imagine him and Madders.
Him and Madders just popping it about together. They'll be having great fun. Son, would you like the ball, son? Yeah, okay, yeah. Mm. Can I put it in the goal? Yes, you can, son. And he'd go do that. That'd be great.
Do you know what you can take to the bank? Yeah? You want a bit of money, do you, Jim?
All right, go on.
Ivan Toney to Tottenham. Just stinks of it.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you know, is he the kind of guy that you need that... So other people don't like his sort of attitude, but actually at Tottenham, I think we need that attitude.
I think he's a complete knobhead.
And that's what you need. Do you need a knobhead?
No, we don't need the attitude, but his abilities are... we were in significant need of, yes. Do you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you saw that Spurs released their financial results yesterday. £500 million in revenue for a season.
Wow.
We're in compliance with financial fair play to the tune of about 400 million, meaning we could spend 400 million and still be within the rules for PSR. We don't have £400 million, but if we did, we could spend that much.
We did. Go on.
Well, it's just interesting that that Daniel Levy said that they're now looking for investment. They're looking for people to come in and spend or buy a section of the football club and essentially maximise Tottenham's transfer potential. Ooh. It could be, James, and this is mental to say, the Spurs are one of the few teams in the world that could afford Mbappe.
Wow. So, really?
I'm just saying. I'm not making any comments, just saying stuff, Jim. That's what I'm doing.
Can I excite you?
Still take Kane back over Mbappe. I'll take him back in a second.
Just come home, son.
Just come back.
We've said this before about like, you know when you're away from your missus for a bit and then you get home and you can just put your head on her shoulder or wherever. Or
yeah, it's lovely.
And that would be like if Gary Kane would come back with his tiny wash bag as he gets out of the car at the training ground and just like that.
Yeah.
And the collective, just put the collective Tottenham fan base bosom. Takes Harry Kane back in. He's not going to win the league, is he? He's not going to win the league.
So mental that he's not going to win the league. He's done it. And it's not. I'm feeling really sorry for him because he did the best thing, right? For Spurs, he wasn't going to sign a contract. We understood it because he was basically handcuffed to the football club for 6 years against his will, right? So he wasn't going to sign a new contract. So he did the best thing for Spurs, which is move away. Let's not run the contract and go for free. We'll get you good money from Bayern Munich. And I'll just leave. I'll get out of your hair. And you're like, well, do you know what? Credit to you, Harry. Credit to you. Because you're guaranteed success there. And it's all going to be gravy for you. And you might even win the Champions League. This is what's happening, James. Bayer Leverkusen are going to win the league for the first time in their history. The same season Harry Kane turns up to play for Bayern Munich. That is so unfair. He has scored 40 goals. In 40 games.
Do you know as well? You think of the football gods. So I guess a question to
he's got 11
to
assists.
Harry Kane. Say they win the Champions. He'd take the Champions League over the league, wouldn't he?
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
So I would like, one thing I would say is like, hold your horses because it's a funny old game, football, right? Because the first thing I would say is you go, Harry Kane, like, he's thinking, oh, do I leave the club? I want the goals record. I do want the goals record. And I just love gold.
I want all the goals
all the time. But he took, and then in his sleep, the football gods appear. And Harry goes, I just don't know what to do. I think it's probably best to I'll move on because I want to go win trophies. And the football gods go, well, but you could go to Bayern Munich. And Harry goes, I tell you what, I'll do your deal. If I score 27 goals, if I score 31 goals in 27 games, that'll be enough, right?
Yeah.
Football gods go, it's a lot of goals.
A lot of goals.
Yeah, but will I get the trophy? That seems like a fair deal. I'll give you the goals. You give me the... It's a lot of goals. But he just couldn't. He just loves goals,
just,
didn't he?
So
he
just be happy with the goals, Harry, right? Let the chips fall where they may.
As the ghost drifts into the background. But what about the trophy? Just enjoy the goals. But
50s.
Heel turn, well, heel little 50. Twist of the story here, Flav, right? Who are Bayern Munich playing in the Champions League in the next 2 weeks?
Come.
Yes. So if you're negotiating with the football gods, okay, you don't win the title, you score all these goals. But if you win the Champions League and knock out Arsenal in the process, that's pretty sweet, isn't it?
That's good. Yeah, I'd take that. I'd definitely take that. The issue is, though, that they're not very good in relative terms.
13 points off Leverkusen.
They're not very good versus relative to their previous success, and I think Arsenal will beat them handily.
Yeah, but I mean, it'd be a huge shock if Bayern win the Champions League. But what I would say is,
it's happened before, Jim.
These things happen, right? And Bayern Munich, they are. The problem is, you've got to play Real Madrid and or Man City in the next round, which is very, very difficult. But.
God. So what, Arsenal could get Man City in the semi-final?
Mate, so it's really stacked on one side. So it's Arsenal, Bayern Munich and Man City, Real Madrid. So that's the thing to remember, I think, with the title race as well, is that if Arsenal and Man City both make it through, they are playing each other in the Champions League semi-final.
Which is effectively the final, because the other side's weak. Is that right?
I can't remember. I've gone blank now on the other side of it.
Well, doesn't matter. Just to pick you up on that then, James. What you're saying is that we could have a semi-final and Arsenal will stink the place out for a Champions League semi-final. Are you saying that we're...
Yeah, probably. Probably. Just get the job done, wouldn't they?
We've come full circle.
We've come full circle, yeah. And here we are back with Arsenal stinking out, ruining football. And I think that's probably a perfect place to finish up. I will just quickly show you the Champions League running. There is a whole predictions video on the JLA channel. Europa League out predictions out as well, which has got all sorts of narratives and monster teams in there as well.
Tell me about PSG or Barcelona. Are they any good this year?
PSG are young and fun. They should make it past Barcelona. They really should.
Mate. Sorry to change the subject. Chap, what's his name? It's forward.
Mbappe?
Chap. No. Chap. But Mo.
Oh, Chupa Moting.
Who is his agent? Is his agent?
Yeah, sort me out.
Mate, have you ever seen a player? What is going on? Is it money laundering? Is it money laundering that's going on?
He's done well at like Bayern and at PSG.
I know. I understand he's not a bad player. He has played for the elite, the creme de la creme of European football.
Is he the example of, like, you know, when people go, how many goals would you score for Man City or whatever? Like, is he the yardstick? Because he's a, you know, obviously kind of, you know, he was average at Stoke. And so any top player would be average at Stoke. Do you know what I mean?
Who's he just signed for?
Oh, he's still at Bayern.
I swear he's got. He's making a move in the summer to someone like Barcelona.
Is he really? That's amazing. That's so cool.
I love it. Stoke legend, Harry Adley said. Played for Stoke once. That's what I'm saying. He's gone from Stoke.
Well, Joselu's at Real Madrid. He was at Stoke. Funny old game. It's a funny old game. Fast. Only two goals this season. Started four, played 23. I think you're a sub. Eric, you're going to be sub this week. Yeah, I know.
Where is he? Five.
Late five, still doing it. Still doing it. God rest him.
I think it's him. He's also like insanely rich as well. Like, he's worth an absolute fortune. Not just from earnings in football. Like, he invested loads of money and he's worth like...
Oh, really? Really? That's interesting.
I think it's him anyway.
We do forget how much money these guys have got. It's wild.
No, but he's like considered the richest footballer in the world.
Oh, sort of Flamini levels.
Is it him?
Flamini's like a billionaire or something.
Is he?
Mm. Anyway. I fucking hate it. Right. Monster weekend of football. Make sure you enjoy it. Alcott will be on the back on the channel on Sunday. Man United, Liverpool, which will probably be boring. But if you want to hear me talk about it, it feels like a bad sell, then join me Sunday evening. Good luck to you, Flav. Come on, you Ars. Finish the job. Finish the job.
Forest, haven't we?
Have you?
Forest at home.
All right. Enjoy your weekends, guys. Lots of love. Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.